Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR. Thank you for tuning in today and listening to our program, and to hopefully you're staying with us throughout the day for all our shows here on American Family Radio. Ed Vitagliano with me this morning. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
We were out last week, most of the week. I was out Monday and Thursday. You were out most of the week.
Yes.
Down at the National Religious Broadcasters.
Yes, it was excellent. And
convention.
Yeah, convention. well worth it.
In Orlando.
And the time. And but it
what
is
did you get out
back.
Of it? What was the one thing you came away with, Ed, at the NRB convention?
Well, I don't want to talk in advance because we are going to talk about your dad. That was an excellent. I mean, I just won't forget that moment. We'll wait till the next hour to talk about that. But I did some interviews with some other folks, and of course filled in for Brian Fisher on his show with Jeremy Wiggins. And
takes two to fill in for Brian, doesn't it?
Listen, I don't know how, I was on, it's a 2-hour show, and we take a break, Jeremy and I, we talk, and I'd say, how does Brian do this on by himself?
I know.
2 hours, the guy's a machine.
I know. Walker Wildman with us. Good morning, Walker.
Good Monday morning.
And we're going to be putting our stuff out on Facebook, Walker?
We are. We're going to be posting all of our articles that we discuss here, all the new breaking news stories on the Today's Issues Facebook page. And I would say that you could go to the Today's Issues page and watch the show, but right now I'm having technical difficulties.
You personally or the Facebook?
No. Technical meaning the computer.
Okay.
You're having technical difficulties. Is it beyond your control?
Right now it is.
Okay.
But I'm known to fix things.
I'm just waiting for that message from somebody who says, we're having technical difficulties within our control. But we're not
within
fixing
our
them.
Control.
Huh? Yeah, they always say we're experiencing technical difficulties beyond our control, right?
Yes.
When a TV or radio station
within our control.
Yeah. Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good morning. It's a Monday and packed full of news today, I'll tell you.
Monday morning, we had a lot of news over the weekend.
A lot of news over the weekend, but we have breaking news out of Washington, D.C. at this hour, a Supreme Court decision. Here's the headline on One News Now right now. Supreme Court scraps case on transgender bathroom rights. Now, that's a subject our audience we're very familiar with. We've had many discussions. Basically what this is a Virginia case that comes out of a former President Obama directive, very important directive. He directed school districts across the country that students, let's say a girl who believes that she's a boy, can use the washroom of her choice, in this case, a boy's washroom. So there was a case in Virginia that was the appeals court ruled in favor of that Obama directive, thereby giving a girl who thinks she's a boy the right to use the boy's washroom. Well, here's what happened. The Supreme Court this morning said, wait a minute, to the appeals court, all you guys did was accept Obama's opinion on a law. That's not good enough. So we're going to send it back down to you, and you're going to look at the law. And the law that Obama made reference to was the whole Title IX, sexual discrimination in schools. And many people have argued across the country, jurisdictions, Texas is one of them, hey, wait a minute, you just can't take Title IX on sex discrimination and apply it to a transgender issue. It appears at this point that the Supreme Court is agreeing with those who say maybe Title IX doesn't apply here. We want you to make logical arguments and not just say, hey, we think President Obama's right on this. We're going to go ahead with it.
You know, Congress was very clear when it passed Title IX. This is back, I think, in 1972. They were very clear in the language that said nothing in this legislation will be construed to make it appear that opposite gender people can use bathrooms. So this argument is really over the definition of gender. What the pro-transgender rights people are saying is that if a boy thinks he's a girl or a girl thinks she's a boy, they are. And what the 72 law says, no, we're going by biological sex. So yeah. This was always a puzzle how the courts could have been construing. It's one thing for activist judges to say, we think it's a constitutional issue, and we are just going to legislate from the bench that a boy who thinks he's a girl is one, and you have to accommodate that. But the Virginia court at the lower, and then the lower court in the federal level, they are actually using the Title IX legislation as a basis for it. And to me, that is a very weak argument. I'm surprised it got that far, but very pleased to know that the Supreme Court is saying you've got to make your decision based on the actual law, not how you wish it read.
A refreshing change,
right?
I would say. And that has been the argument from the other side all the way along, that courts, you can't just because former President Obama had an opinion on a law, you don't take that and turn things upside down.
Well, right. Now, didn't Attorney General Jeff Sessions take back the Obama letter or didn't act on it?
That's correct.
Obama Loretta Lynch letter to all the schools mm-hmm. in America saying you better accommodate transgendered people however they want to be accommodated, or you're going to lose your public funding.
Exactly.
Right.
Remember that threat?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's about, what was that, about 6 months ago or something?
Well, that was, I think, the May before President Obama was out of office. So that'd be a year, coming up about a year. Mm-hmm. And it was not only the Justice Department and the Department of Education jointly sent this out. You know, this case in Virginia, I think Gloucester County, is that how you pronounce it?
That's Fred? Correct. That's
Gloucester.
Correct.
This is a young lady who believes she's a boy.
She now calls herself Gavin Grimm.
Gavin Grimm.
Yeah.
So the school said, all right, look, we will create a bathroom just for you. And you can go into the opposite gender changing area, but we're going to have to put you behind a curtain when you want to change in the changing area. That wasn't good enough. Okay, so this is going to happen all over the country if the courts get themselves involved in these kind of things, and that's going to create chaos. It's going to be chaos in public schools, public buildings, and elsewhere.
Yeah.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, that's pleasantly surprising that the United States Supreme Court has,
made that
common
rule.
Sense here, and mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens with this. But we do want to applaud Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about him now in just a minute mm-hmm. for taking back this letter that the Obama administration and Loretta Lynch, the acting AG, sent to all the schools. Can you imagine that? You can't imagine that with the Obama administration, but they shouldn't let. You get a letter, you're a principal of a school, and you get a letter saying, hey, you better let boys in women's, in your girls' showers, or there's a chance you could lose your funding, your federal funding. That's over now with the new president. But had Hillary Clinton won, it'd have been a whole different story.
Yes, it would have.
It'd have been even more chaotic.
And that's an issue that we never did. I mean, we might have mentioned it.
Right.
But, a lot of, during the election, we were talking about the pro-life judges and, constitutional strict constructionist judges and those kinds of things. But you're exactly right, Tim. If Hillary Clinton had been elected, that policy that the Obama administration had put forth, that would have been going across the country. Now, states had sued the federal government on that, so that would have had to work its way through the courts. But I have no doubt that a Hillary Clinton administration, thank goodness we're not having to say that every day, but they would have gone full speed ahead with this, and the chaos would have exploded everywhere.
You know what the predicament, though, this puts a school administrator in? Trying to figure this thing out? Let's see, I got to let boys and girls locker rooms, if they say they're a girl, or else,
just, and then parents. Then you got parents pounding on your door if you're a principal.
Right.
Saying, you are not, I do not want my daughter
right.
having to shower with young men. This is absurd.
Right, right, right.
I can't. What can I do? The federal government said I had to.
Right, right. So
crazy.
All right. Speaking of Attorney General Jeff Sessions, he's in the news.
All right. This
all week.
This story. Let's the big picture first. Big picture. Most of our folks are aware that the Democrats, even before Election Day, but certainly since Election Day, have been out there preaching with the help of the mainstream media that the Russians interfered with the 2016 election. All right, so that has been the big story out there. Late last week, and they been making the accusation that Trump people, surrogates, helped the Russians in all of this. So late last week, we had the assertion by the Democrats that Sessions, Attorney General Sessions, during his nominating hearings with the Senate, did not tell the truth. What happened was Senator Al Franken was on that committee. He asked nominee Attorney General Sessions, did you have meetings with the Russians in which the 2016 election was discussed? Attorney General Sessions said, no. I never met with the Russians to talk about the 2016 election. Well, since that time, it has been learned that indeed, on two occasions, back in the fall, Attorney General Sessions,
Then Senator,
he was with the Armed Services Committee.
Right.
He was at a big gathering with several foreign dignitaries, and one of the Russians were there. And then, as a senator on this Armed Services Committee, the Russians requested a meeting with him as a senator. There were two other assistants to the senator who are ex-military people in the room. And Senator Sessions, this Russian foreign dignitary came to his office, Sessions' office, to discuss the Ukraine.
Right.
Because the week before, the Ukrainian foreign minister had been in discussing this.
Right.
So the Russian wanted to give his 2 cents to the senator. That's what was discussed.
And my understanding was that meeting got fairly testy.
Yes, it did. Because obviously Sessions was disagreeing with the Russian side of the Ukraine story.
Right.
But that was the content of that meeting. But what you're hearing now is that Attorney General Sessions, the nominee, he lied. Under oath, he lied. He had meetings with the Russians. So then you have this news conference called last Thursday afternoon, where in the midst of all of this, Attorney General Sessions gets up and says, we did not discuss the election in these meetings. However, in the midst of the ongoing investigation by the House and the Senate into whether the Russians were involved in hacking computers, Attorney General Sessions says, I'm going to recuse myself.
This was a demand by some of the Democrats.
Yes, I am going to. And Attorney General Sessions said he had met just that morning, I think it was, last week, with his ethics people, and they advised him he should recuse himself. It's become known the Attorney General Sessions did not consult with the White House before making that decision to recuse himself. On Friday, we find out that President Trump has gone ballistic, that Attorney General Sessions has recused himself because President Trump doesn't see any reason for the Attorney General. You did nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Then on Saturday morning, President Trump tweets out that he has information that the Obama administration bugged Trump Towers during the election campaign as part of this alleged overall investigation into Russian involvement in the election. So that all goes ballistic. So the question then becomes, is this possible?
Mm-hmm.
President Obama, through his issues an official statement, I did not order, and that's the word he used, I did not order any bugging or wiretapping on Trump Towers. Mm-hmm. So that's where we are. So that lends itself to all kinds of interviews on the weekend. One of those people interviewed was J. Christian Adams, former Justice Department official. And in a Fox interview, he points out a couple of things. Number one, the president used the word order. That doesn't mean he wasn't aware.
Right.
The Justice Department, it goes to what's called the Federal Intelligence Surveillance Court. That's a court that was set up in the wake of 9/11, I believe it was.
It's called a FISA. So FISA, that's what people hear that, FISA court.
You hear that word, that's what it means. Mm-hmm. Where you can go and a federal judge, the Justice Department with the FBI can petition that court to say, I want to bug individual A because we have some evidence that maybe he's up to no good for some foreign entity.
Right.
All right. So I want to play you a little bit of this interview between Fox News' Ed Henry and J. Christian Adams.
There's a big difference between ordered and knowing everything else about it. And you notice Ben Rhodes doesn't deny that they knew everything else about this FISA warrant tapping into the Trump campaign in the middle of the fall election. Look, if this happened, folks need to understand this is what the tactics of a police state are, to use intelligence gathering services against political opponents. If this happened, we've crossed a very dangerous line in America. It makes Watergate look like a joke. I mean, they were bugging an office of a secretary with a piece of hardware from the 50s. This is entirely different if it's true. FISA warrants are almost always granted, like Judge McCasey pointed out, because they're so carefully crafted before they get to the court. But to have it granted in October in the middle of a campaign, and we've seen the product of it. Americans are going to learn what the deep state is, because that intelligence information about Mike Flynn, his conversations with the Russians, it got out into the Washington Post. That's exactly how it is working in a very dangerous fashion, where intelligence operations are becoming political weapons.
There you go.
There you have it.
Was he implying that some of these leaks were the result of wiretapping, of this tapping?
I don't think there's any question about that.
Let's remember that.
But I'm just saying that's the first I had heard about that. Because everyone was saying, where are all these leaks coming from?
Yes.
Well, let's remember, Michael Flynn was a private citizen. He was a private U.S. citizen, not in any official government capacity, when he was talking to the Russian ambassador or Russian official about the sanctions, yada, yada, the controversy 2 weeks ago that led to his resignation. He was a private citizen. So, yes, what's interesting here is the court could grant access to bug Trump Tower, bug meaning, you know, have collect intel from Trump Tower, without having Trump's name specifically mentioned in it. And I think that's what makes this report viable, because you can say we're trying to listen to Russian officials to see if Russian officials are intercepting with Trump Tower without bugging a U.S. citizen, so to speak.
And yeah, so you're saying that the FISA court could have been asked to allow the surveillance because we think the Russians are trying to influence the election.
Right.
So where are you going to tap? Trump Towers. We think that's what's happening.
Right.
This is when I first heard this, I'll be honest. When I first heard this, I thought, oh, Donald, stop tweeting stuff that sounds outlandish. But the more I hear about all this, the more I go, this is starting to smack of a real weaponizing of the federal apparatus by the Obama administration to undermine Trump.
And don't forget that President Obama and Attorney General Eric Holder wiretapped Associated Press writers.
And seized records too, didn't they?
Yeah, and James Rosen from Fox News,
right. Mm-hmm.
They singled him out for surveillance.
And Jason, Representative Chaffetz this morning from Utah reminded everyone that his communications were intercepted by the Secret Service agents.
40 Secret Service agents, he said this morning, went through his records when he was appointed chairman of a committee.
Yeah, House Oversight Committee, which was his job was to look over some of the President Obama's scandals.
Yeah, so he's not one given to tweets, you know, every morning.
Right,
he stated that emphatically. This is true. The when he was appointed to this committee, this is before the election, folks, there were 40 Secret Service agents. They had to be assigned by someone to go into his records and check all his personal records.
You know, and what's interesting here is everyone's acting all of a sudden like, well, there's no evidence that that Trump Tower was bugged. But yet the New York Times and all these major media outlets, which for the most part are credible at times, have been reporting that Trump associates this with the Russians. Trump campaigned this with the Russians. Trump had conversations with so-and-so. Well, how do they know that? Because there's surveillance, you know?
And well, so, at first, when all this was unfolding, at first I thought, well, there still are Obama people in the White House that are listening in or whatever, and they're reporting to the press. But and it could still be some of that. But now you have this possibility that some of this may have been from wiretapping or surveillance. It may not be the old timey wiretap where you tap the phones, but some kind of surveillance.
And the New York Times, this is in January. The New York Times reports on the eve of Inauguration Day that several agencies, including the FBI, NSA, and CIA, and the Treasury Department, are monitoring several associates of the Trump campaign suspected of Russia ties. So over the weekend, New York Times is saying, you know, Trump's into conspiracy theories, he has no evidence. But according to their own reports, these agencies are monitoring Trump associates, which could in return mean you monitor Trump Tower. That's where his associates are.
And just to go back for a moment, I mentioned a moment ago that President Trump very upset that Attorney General Sessions recused himself.
Yes.
And here's the reason. The ethics people that Sessions referred to in that news conference last Thursday have been around the Justice Department through the Obama years. Furthermore, now what Sessions said is that I'm going to remove myself from any investigation of the Russian involvement in the election. Thereby, he's giving that over to those underneath him who happen to be in the Justice Department because of appointments made by President Obama. And this is why President Trump is so upset. You just gave them, the others in the Justice Department who've been around during the Obama years, the power, and you say you're not going to have anything to do with it.
What happens with this? Where does this go? This idea that President Obama was wiretapping the. I mean, who investigates
that? Well, there would have to be an investigation from, I guess, the FBI.
The House and the Senate are going to investigate.
Right.
What was stated over the weekend is there's already the investigation going on into whether the Russians interfered with the election. Both the Republicans are now saying who chair the committees in the House and the Senate that are looking into this. We're now going to fold in this accusation, fold in the accusation that Trump Tower was bugged by the Obama administration.
So the FBI or a special prosecutor those would not be investigating.
Not at this point.
Yeah.
Not at this point.
Because what's odd is if the surveillance did occur, it would have been done by the FBI. Is that not correct? The FBI would have.
It could have been several agencies.
That's
because
right.
The FBI is defensive now,
right?
Saying that, no, we would not have done that. So I don't know. Who knows? We have so many surveillance.
It can get confusing.
Yeah.
But what we really need to know is was there a FISA court request to monitor Trump Tower?
And what was the
yes
answer?
Yes or no?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that you can start there. If that's a yes, then.
If there's a paper trail.
Right.
Then President Trump may be onto something there.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. You may have heard about Disney. We're going to talk about them when we get back. They've got a new video coming out, a new movie coming out based on an old movie. And they've decided to get gay friendly. We'll talk about that when we get back.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio, and on Facebook.
Whoa, we have not had a response like this before. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We've been doing these spiritual heritage tours for like 20 years. We're sold out for June already, if you can believe that. We've got space left on our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We call them spiritual heritage tours, and I don't know how long these September seats will last. To what do you attribute that to, someone might ask? Maybe it's the fact that we have a new person occupying the White House. Maybe that has something to do with it. But in any event, we welcome you to come with us on our September Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Those are two separate trips. You can do both, or you can do one or the other. We'd love to have you. Go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. For the record, we do not know beyond a shadow of a doubt whether President Obama or anyone in his administration ordered the wiretapping of Trump Tower. That's why there needs to be a thorough investigation. It may sound absurd, but let's be honest. The Obama administration was involved in some pretty nefarious activity. My colleague James Rosen was secretly designated as a criminal co-conspirator. A federal judge gave the government permission to rifle through his emails. The Internal Revenue Service bullied and intimidated conservative groups and Christian ministries. They went so far as to audit Billy Graham, the man known as America's pastor. It was a clear abuse of power. So it's not out of the realm of possibility the Obama administration holdovers have been secretly plotting to take down the Trump presidency. So let the investigation begin. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed and Walker, and Jeremy Wiggins has stepped in. Fred will be back in a few minutes, but Jeremy, tell us about this new Disney. It's an old movie. They're re-releasing it in a different form, right? Beauty and the Beast?
That's correct. You know, the original movie came out in the 90s, Disney's animated classic Beauty and the Beast. It's a favorite in my house. My daughter and my wife absolutely love the animated version. That was a Christmas present we got her this year, was the Platinum Edition. I believe it's 25 years it's been out now. Well, Disney has decided to go full bore into the pro-homosexual movement by making one of its characters out to be an openly homosexual person in this movie. Whereas in the original, the character's name is LeFou, by the way, and he plays kind of Gaston, who's the main villain. He plays his toady. And in the original, he was just this short, really, really short guy who was just kind of an idiot and followed Gaston around. But that was where the line was drawn. He was just kind of his little lackey. And there's a song that they sing, and he sings Gaston's praises, and it's in a pub, and all of the men are talking about how they want to be like Gaston because he's so manly and burly. But now, apparently, they've changed things up a bit, and LeFou is now pining after Gaston. And I have actually, Tim, the director has stated that this is Disney's exclusively first openly gay moment.
And Bill Condon is the director.
Yes. And, you know, I don't know if anybody else was like this, but before anybody has actually seen the movie, when I see stuff like that, it makes me wonder, okay, what exactly is going to happen here? Is this an exclusively open gay, or is this, are they trying to hype pass off early a pro-LGBT message? But apparently it is not hype. I have read a blog from someone who has actually seen the movie. Tim Challies reposted this, and it is actually openly gay.
And this is a live-action version of the animated Beauty and the Beast. This is what Bill Condon, the director, told a gay magazine. He said, LeFou is somebody who on one day wants to be Gaston and on another day wants to kiss Gaston, and Josh makes some really subtle and something really subtle and delicious out of it, talking about the actor. And that's what has its payoff at the end, which I don't want to give away, but it is a nice, exclusively gay moment in a Disney movie. Now, I don't think there's anybody out there who is ever going to watch a Disney movie who hasn't seen this one. So this is not a spoiler, okay?
No.
Gaston dies at the end, and my guess is that LeFou confesses his love to Gaston at the end. But the director says at the end there is a nice exclusively gay moment in a Disney movie. You're basically going to have to watch it and see it.
Well, what's the target audience?
The animated movie, obviously, we would say was directed towards children, but I would say these live-action versions are now more towards the millennial generation who grew up watching that and their kids. So
right.
It's a mixed audience. They're trying to capture the nostalgia of people who are around my age who saw the original animated series, the movie, live in theaters.
Right.
But now they want to try to target our children. But, you know, Ed, you said it. It's at the end. Apparently, though, it's not just one moment at the end. Apparently, there are some overt tones that are made throughout Gaston and LeFou's interaction coming from LeFou that are quite noticeable, is what I've read. This one mom who went and saw the movie and wrote a review about it says that it is not subtle. It's not something that you're just going to pass over. And what they've done now is by drawing all of this attention to it, those who are going to see the movie are going to be looking for it. So it's going to be even more noticeable.
Well, you know, this is the problem. Go back decades to accepting that homosexuality is somehow okay. It's normal. You know, we should accept it as a culture. And even the live and let live mentality that sometimes we like to, you know, they just let them do what they want to do. But that's the problem. The problem with that is then if you accept that live and let live is okay, homosexuality is fine for those who choose it, how can we criticize this?
Right.
You know, it's just part of culture. You know, you have heterosexual couples in movies. Why not have homosexual couples in movies? But that's why we have to go back to the basics of homosexuality is unhealthy and unbiblical and immoral behavior. And so thus, we should not be showing our children this.
Right. And that's an excellent point because the society with the Obergefell decision legalizing same-sex marriage, Disney advocates are going to say, well, listen, it's gays can get married. We can teach your children that in school.
Right.
And so all those Christians, especially, who during all this fight that we've been doing for years, a decade at least, against the possibility of same-sex marriage, oh, it's not that big a deal. You guys are just a bunch of, even Christians, criticizing us for getting involved in this. Well, you know what? Now they have a legal right to teach your children, and you're going to start seeing it as you already have now in commercials, including, you know, Campbell's soup, everything from Campbell's soup to what have you.
Yeah.
You're going to start seeing it. And what are you going to say about it now?
Yeah.
You didn't get into the fight earlier.
Right.
Now what are you going to tell your kids?
Yeah, the kids will become desensitized to it.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. It'll be interesting to see if this movie's successful financially or not.
Franklin Graham has already called for Southern Baptists to not go see the movie. We're calling for that as well.
Right.
I think there was an Alabama movie theater has decided
the drive-in movie, I think.
They're not going to show the movie at all. They have decided not to even air it whatsoever. But, you know, and another thing is if it's okay, if it's socially acceptable, what we call sin, then society calls good, why don't we promote other types of sin? When are we going to see a Disney character now who has a pornography addiction?
Right.
Are we going to see alcoholism promoted in a popular light now? I mean, why is it that what we, you know, when we start calling evil good and good evil, why stop there? Why not just go full bore into it?
And that's a good point because a lot of people like to say, well, you know, why do y'all always talk about homosexuality? It seems y'all just pick on that issue. There's so many other issues out there. You know, there's sex slavery, there's human trafficking, there's all this stuff going on, but there's not lobbying groups in D.C. promoting adultery or alcohol addiction. But there are lobbying groups up there promoting homosexuality.
If there were groups, we'd hit
we'd
that.
We'd be fighting it too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you have a fundamental worldview difference here. The Bible teaches that homosexuality is sin. You can't read it any other way. And that's been the teaching of the church forever.
Right.
2,000 years. Mm-hmm. That's been the teaching of the Christian church in all denominations. And now, because the popular culture has taken this issue and been just pounding us over the head with it for the last 30 years, and now you're a hater. They flipped everything on its head.
Right.
You know, they flipped right and wrong on its head. Now you're a hater or you're a bigot if you don't promote the lifestyle.
Right.
You can't just you have to promote it and, you know, bow the knee, so to speak, or you're intolerant. That's the game today. But you can't look at the scriptures and come away with the idea that that kind of behavior is anything but the Bible calls it sin.
And I think one of the best things that we can do is not only do you vote with your wallet, you have a voice too. So, I mean, not only do you need to let other people know that this kind of content is not only in this movie, but, you know, 1 million moms put out this alert the other day notifying about a homosexual kiss in a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you need to do?
On a Disney channel.
On the Disney channel. And so, but not watching the Disney Channel is really not enough. You need to call, you know, who's your cable provider? You need to call them and tell them, like, mm-hmm. look, I want Disney removed from my lineup because of this. Or you let your local theater go see a different movie. Go see a family-friendly movie.
Right.
And let the people at the theater know, say, I'm choosing with my wallet not to go see this movie because of this content that's in there.
Yeah.
And if people would do that, not only not spend the money on it, but use their voices too. Let other people know and let the companies know that's when change starts to happen. That's why we're seeing such a big impact in Target is because people not only are not going there, but they spoke up too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The days of leaving your children on the couch while you clean the house, take the dog out, et cetera, to watch cartoons on television, I think those days are over because you slip out to go run errands or something.
Yeah.
Then and you know, something like this Disney cartoon comes up, and before you know it, your child's seeing this every week. We just have to be very careful and aware of what's going into our children's.
Well, it's not just the cartoons, too. It's the commercials that are on.
Yeah.
I remember my kids were watching. I think it was like PBS Kids, you know, like a cartoon on PBS in the morning. And I'm sitting there watching the commercials, and there's a bunch of quote-unquote married homosexual couples, and it's like a tolerance ad that they're running.
Oh, right.
And it's got all of these gay couples parading across the screen. And here, you know, this is children's block, and they're using it. They know, too. This is the goal here, is to go after the children, to get them young. That's their stated goal, and that's exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Check out our Today's Issues Facebook page. Did you ever get that technical problem worked out?
Well, I can't take credit, but one of our IT guys got it fixed.
Okay, so you can go on
Facebook. It is working now.
Our Facebook Today's Issues page is working now?
Yes, sir.
Well, Jeremy, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you. Can I take a second to tell people about the broadcast?
Yes.
Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. Central Time, listen to In the Trenches right here on American Family Radio. If you don't want to get up that early, hey, that's great. You can go to AFR.net, download the podcast for that program and all the other programs. We were at NRB last week, got a lot of great interviews, got to sit in with Ed, had a good time with Ed.
We enjoyed that.
We're going to be re-airing some of those over the next couple of weeks. Charles Morris from Haven Today, we had him on for a half an hour, Fleeing ISIS, Finding Jesus. That's going to be re-airing in the next couple of weeks. This weekend, I talked to Dr. Christian George. He's put out he is the editor of the Lost Sermons of Charles Spurgeon.
Hmm.
Volume 1 and 2 have
been
out.
You lost them.
Well, so they were hidden.
Technical difficulties.
They were hidden in a desk drawer behind a bunch of pens, which is where you find most important stuff. But these are the early sermons, the ones from when he was still in his teens. It's a 12-volume set that's coming out. And Tim, guys, the adding of this work to the collective body of Spurgeon is going to increase it by 10%. which, you know, we say, oh, it's 10%. But you got to figure, these have been around for 150 years. 10% is a huge number to be added.
Oh, so these are literally sermons that people haven't heard since they were preached? Or,
yeah. Now, what happened was, I don't want to give too much away, but Dr. Christian George, he runs the Spurgeon Museum in Kansas City. And he went to England, and while he was there, he saw all of Spurgeon's journals. These are all the print journals where he wrote down. Yeah. They had not been published, so they weren't technically "quote unquote" lost, like the Raiders of the Lost Ark kind of thing. But they'd not been published, so they painstakingly went through and reproduced these sermons and outlines, and it's going to be a beautiful 12-volume set.
And, listen, I have people clamoring all the time for copies of my old sermons. And yeah. You know, really, the Gaston thing. I have people singing about how manly and burly Ed is.
Yeah. And have you published your
sermons
yet?
I need to record these people singing.
Have you lost any sermons?
No, I haven't.
Ed intentionally lost a few when he was younger so that he could find them later on and charge more.
There were people in my church who weren't listening while I was preaching, let alone not going back and getting.
How does
me later.
That make you feel when you're looking out in the congregation and people are dozing
being on
off.
Their phones or something like that? You know,
well maybe.
How does it make me feel? Am I pastoring now?
No, tell us how you feel.
Wow.
All right, thank
no,
you.
No, that's not the reason.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
Jeremy Wiggins joining us. All right, well. One of the benefits of doing a live show is we get breaking news, and today is the day, and now's the time that, and by now I mean right now, that the Trump administration is reissuing their travel executive order, the one that was shot down by the courts a couple weeks ago. Where do we stand with that, Fred?
Well, I've just been monitoring while you were talking. There's a live news conference happening right now. Secretary of State Tillerson has been involved, Attorney General Sessions. And I can tell you what I was reading this morning, what was going to happen with this new travel ban, that the original one was shot down by the courts. Now that travel ban has been revised. And one of the things apparently that has happened is that Iraq has been taken off that list with ISIS being driven out. For the most part, out of cities like Mosul and others, there's a little bit more assurance amongst the Trump administration that proper vetting is going to go on. Mm-hmm. Also, I was just reading a headline here, and I believe this was Attorney General Sessions said this, 300 of the refugees that have been allowed to come in over the last year or so under the Obama administration are now under investigation for any connection to terrorism. So that's
not shocking.
No.
Yeah, this is
we were warned about this.
This is common sense.
Right.
And ISIS had admitted that they were trying to get their operatives in not only the United States but Europe because of the laxity of these policies.
Yeah.
It's not surprising at all.
One reason I believe they excluded Iraq from this executive order today is the Iraq government, what there's left of it, is leading the charge against ISIS along with some U.S. help and other ally countries. And it seemed it offended the Iraqi, whether you think you should include Iraq or not, it offended them to have them leading the charge and losing lives against ISIS and to not allow them to come into our country. And so that I think that was the leading cause.
And they have been fighting ISIS. I mean, they're the ones reclaiming these cities from ISIS. So,
and some of
their military is gaining experience against these kinds of
during
fighters.
The last executive order, some of the interpreters who helped U.S. troops years ago in Iraq, some of the interpreters weren't allowed into the U.S. because of their visa or something. And so, you know, those guys need to be allowed into our country if they've laid their life on the line, you know, to help us defeat terrorism.
Well, are the other countries, though, still?
Yes, the other six. There were seven in the original. There's still six. Some of the other changes we believe that have been made, and again, this is just unfolding as we're speaking here, some of the other changes had to address the court's objections, and that was people who already had visas in place to visit. Those visas are now going to be honored. People who had green cards that happened to be out of the country, they're not going to be curtailed anywhere. So Those are the kinds of things that are going on. But as I say, this is unfolding because we're speaking. We'll have more on this on our newscast and on One News Now. The specifics.
Well, there's no question that the President of the United States has the authority to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We've cited that law many times. Maybe it was handled sloppily last time. Well, I think it was. I think everybody pretty much admits that the way it was rolled out.
Yes.
And there was a lot of confusion.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with the court decision there, but out in Oregon, was it Oregon or state of Seattle, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it was University of Washington was were plaintiffs, I think, representatives.
You think they'll go back after this one, though, Ian?
Oh, yeah. I think they will. Yeah, I think these are diehard, committed, you know, dyed in the wool, we hate Trump, people. We want him out of office. We are going to resist everything he does. Mm-hmm. But trying to get a judge to agree now after these changes, if you make a power grab there, you ought to impeach those judges.
Yeah.
And there's one more thing here that was out in the story this morning. If it's true, it could be very disturbing. Apparently, in this new version, it's also expected to remove language that would give priority to religious minorities. Bracket Christians. Critics had accused the administration of adding such language to help Christians get into the United States while excluding Muslims. Now, if it's true, if this new order no longer gives a priority to Christians who are being persecuted in these Islamic countries, then that is disturbing if they've made that compromise.
And I'll tell you, we've mentioned this on the show before. Here's part of why it's so disturbing. I mean, these Christians are not only being persecuted in their countries, but these United Nations refugee camps, where these refugees are departing, they go to these camps, and then they're supposedly vetted, they go to Europe or the United States. Christians won't even go to those refugee camps because they are assaulted and harmed by the Muslim majorities. So they're driven out of the refugee camps, and that's why they can't get out to the West.
Right.
And so for the Trump administration to ignore that reality just because of what these judges have said would be a shame. I certainly hope the Trump administration fixes that loophole if that exists.
That's one thing we'll be looking very carefully at.
But that's being that was just announced in Washington, D.C. by
and they're talking about it now.
Kelly, the Homeland Security guy.
Yes, and Attorney General Sessions, and Secretary of State Tillerson.
All three of them.
Yes.
Coordinated effort there. We'll see how that's received, but I think you're right. I think the left in this country, they don't believe in any kind of immigration laws.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Basically, they don't believe in any restrictions.
They're open borders, essentially. My personal belief is that a lot of the progressives in this country – they hate nationalism.
Right.
They're globalists. They hate nationalism because nationalist feelings put the brakes on a one-world government. And that's why so how do you defeat nationalism? Well, you eliminate it by getting rid of the cultures that form the allegiance of people.
Yes.
A Frenchman has nationalistic feelings about French culture. Well, if you flood France with people from 12 other different nations, you no longer have anything to be allied to.
Right.
And I think, to me, that's what these open borders people are all about. They hate nationalism because it's nations that resist globalism.
And this is a global issue, too. This is what you were just talking about. This nationalism is what led to the Brexit vote.
Yes.
In Britain. Enough of this, the British people said. These people are coming in. They won't assimilate.
Right.
They want to bring their culture, their values, and change our country. It's what's going on in Germany right now. It's what's going on in France. It's what's going on in the Netherlands, which is why you have what the media likes to call these far-right parties doing so well in the polls. These people, nationalist French people, German, Netherlands, whatever the case may be, are saying, enough.
Right.
You know, number one, we can't keep taking care of these millions of refugees that are coming into our country. We can't do it. They don't want to assimilate. All they want to do is take, take, take. And we've had enough of it.
Right.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Eva Tagliano and Walker Wildman. What's next?
Just on the weekend, I think we have time. I'm going to squeeze it in here. Former Attorney General Loretta Lynch on a rant. She says our country's being assailed, being trampled on, and even being rolled back, our civil rights, she says. And she made a YouTube video, which is being promoted now by the Democrats, and we're going to play a little bit of that for you.
I know that this is a time of great fear and uncertainty for so many people. I know it's a time of concern for people who see our rights being assailed, being trampled on, and even being rolled back. I know that this is difficult, but I remind you that this has never been easy. We have always had to work to move this country forward to achieve the great ideals of our founding fathers. And that has been people, individuals, who have banded together, ordinary people who simply saw what needed to be done and came together and supported those ideals who have made the difference. They've marched. They've bled. Yes, some of them have died. This is hard. Every good thing is. We have done this before. We can do this again.
Now, what she's saying there, basically, folks, is that our country is under attack. Our civil rights are in jeopardy. And she's referring to the Trump administration. She's referring to, and she seems to be saying to these protesters out there that have been going to the Republican meetings, and we've seen these, some of these protests have turned very violent in Berkeley again over the last several days. Violence broke out when there were pro-Trump people there. She seems to be saying this is what it takes to make sure our civil rights, according to her interpretation, are kept.
Yeah, she used the expression rights are being rolled back.
Where?
Yeah, it's hard to know who she's talking about. Is she talking about the black community just specifically? Is this a Black Lives Matter kind of thing she's saying?
Is she talking about voter ID laws?
Yeah, but I don't know what she's talking about.
What's funny about all this is if nobody gets to ask Loretta Lynch questions.
No.
Nobody
right.
asks any of these people questions. They blurt out falsehoods, and then they go back to their house. And then the media repeats the falsehoods mm-hmm. as if it's fact. Why didn't she sit down with Fox News or someone to do an interview, and someone can ask, right. what kind of rights, Ms. Lynch, are you speaking of?
Yeah.
Right. And explain it.
What is she talking about?
Right.
What's being rolled back? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no.
But it seems clear that she is advocating, at the very least, protests. I don't want to put words
yes.
in the mouth of the former
civil unrest.
Attorney General, but perhaps even civil unrest. I mean, she's referring back to the civil rights movement.
Right.
I mean, that seems clear. So is she advocating a peaceful Martin Luther King kind of protest or a more of a Malcolm X, more of a violent kind of protest? It's hard to know what she's talking about, but I'm not sure whose rights are being rolled back here.
There aren't. There's nobody's rights being rolled back. She's just making that up.
But I think it's part of a larger campaign from the left. They are so outraged they lost this election.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And now it's about painting the Trump administration. It's about painting conservatives who voted for Donald Trump as an enemy.
Mm-hmm. It's absurd that they are calling on Jeff Sessions to resign as attorney general.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no evidence of anything that would demand that, but they don't care.
No.
Right.
They want to get everybody out that Trump wants in, and then they want him out.
The Democrats, they just wanted to create chaos
yeah.
for President Trump and his team, and that way thwart their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, where can we go to read more about these stories, Fred?
OneNewsNow.com. All of these stories we've talked about in the last hour, all there.
All right, we shall return momentarily with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.